Today on Real Life Radio.
I believe now that Satan somehow messes up every time he launches persecution against the church, because history shows that every time there's a demonic, satanic persecution against the church, instead of it going away, it gets stronger and bigger, because truth does that.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey everybody, have you ever thought about what's after life? Do you know that the Bible teaches life is after life? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, my good friend Philip DeCourcy has written a great book, and that's the title, Life After Life, Exploring the Bible's Wonderful Promises About Heaven and Eternity, published by Harvest House Publishers. Get a copy for yourself.
Life After Life by Philip DeCourcy, Exploring the Bible's Promises About Heaven and Eternity. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, and a message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 1. The Apostle Peter was, of course, a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter understood the times that they were in. Christians were under the constant threat of persecution, but Peter also understood how big God is, and he knew in his heart that the Lord would take care of them. Now, as we begin chapter 5, we'll see how Peter is turning his attention towards the leaders of the church. We know from previous verses that the church is on the run. But from the very beginning, the church was meant to be a living, breathing organism with no address or structure. Even today, we are all ministers of the gospel of God and leaders in our own right. Real divine leadership is to serve and be served. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that having a heart of a servant, well, that's what the church is all about. We're here to live in obedience to the Lord, but with a love of service to others who need care, guidance, and prayer. Now, with his message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
God, there'd be a great awakening among your people, that a new birth of freedom would sweep this nation. And we know that when we pray that prayer, it's not for us, it's for the world. You know the times and the seasons. In fact, we pray even today, Lord, that you'd come back for us today. But if you don't, may we prepare. Lord, put the love of your freedom in our hearts, not only to enjoy and contribute to the great American experience, but the inspiring freedom that caused this nation's birth, the freedom of the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord and Savior who delivers us and frees us from sin and death. You alone are worthy, Almighty God, and we love you and we thank you, and we pray today in your word that we would draw closer to you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church, you can stand if you would and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Can you believe it? 1 Peter chapter 5. I know, remember a few weeks ago, somebody asked me, when are we going to be done with 1 Peter? We're closer now, 1 Peter 5. But don't get too comfortable, because there's 2 Peter that comes after 1 Peter. But we're now in chapter 5. We're down to the home stretch on this epistle that Peter authored to the church that was on the run. A church that was being persecuted, a church that was being reduced in size, reduced in status, as the gospel was brought under attack for about 230 years under the Caesars. And it was during that time, church, that the persecuted church grew the most. I believe now that Satan somehow messes up every time he launches persecution against the church, because history shows that every time there's a demonic, satanic persecution against the church, instead of it going away, it gets stronger and bigger, because truth does that. Peter, in his writing now, turns his attention to addressing the leaders of those vagabond churches, makeshift churches. They're on the run, as I mentioned earlier, in the region of Cappadocia, Bithynia, That region of the world, Galatia, that part of the world today on our map would be Eastern Europe or Western Asia, that region where kind of like around Turkey and that part of the world. And remember, they had been attacked for their faith. The outbreak of persecution started under Nero. This is something that is heavily documented in the annals of history. And so the church was homeless, in a sense, jobless in many ways. Most of them, many of them, slaves, or having had something, became slaves in various cultures that they had been driven to just to make ends meet. And the churches were under attack. But listen, from the very beginning, the Bible told us that God would equip his church with various ministry offices that would serve the body of Christ. And in our Western mind thinking, we need to break some chains that we have bound up in the way that we think. We are victims of the last 100, 125, I'll go out as far as 150 years ago, that we're victims of a mindset that have somehow institutionalized what the true church is. The true church is not to be institutionalized, as you and I know that. You and I think of the church as having some sort of a leadership hierarchy. Then there's just the rest of us that come in and out from week to week. We're all busy about living our lives, but then the church is doing its thing and it's getting ready to receive us again on Sunday. This is a westernized view of church. It's not existent in most of the world, nor has it been in human history. The church is a living, breathing organism, and it's something that is a dynamic, that it's not an address, it's not a structure. We live in a beautiful church, as it were, materially. Nice walls, nice comfort, air conditioning when we need it, cooling or heating when we need it. And yet that's not the truth. It cannot do anything about it. It's not the church. But the very people that we are an organism. The church is alive. And Peter takes his attention out and he draws down on the leaders of the church. And we need to get back, if we've drifted, to that understanding. And that's what we're going to be hearing about for the next several weeks in chapter 5. We're looking at a message entitled Ministers, Each and Every One. That's you and I, ministers. You say, aren't ministers the ones that we pay to stand up there and do what you're doing? Nope. Every single one of us as Christians are to be ministers of the gospel of God. And that means in all of your callings, whatever you may be, the very area of your influence, from the mom who seemingly only rocks the cradle, which has been said to rule the world, to somebody that might preside over a number of people, be it in the military or corporately, that God has called you to be a Christian and a leader. And I want you to know, as we go through this study, I am going to refuse to adopt in our study the modern day view of what leadership is, because I want you to know the God honest truth. I see and look at each and every one of you as a leader regarding Christianity and your own rights, as God has called you. Why would God give you a gift of the Spirit of God to use in the body of Christ if in some way you're not to influence, you're not to make a difference? No, you are. God has called you to this as a believer. And so that's why this section includes all of this. Because the temptation is going to be great for you to point back at me and say, yeah, you do it. Yeah, you do it. Yeah, I refuse to do that. We're going to do this together. It's called church. It's alive and it's breathing. In fact, in Luke chapter 22, by the way, we have a big introduction. So don't worry, we're not going to get far today, which is normal. Luke 22, verse 24, the Bible says, now there were also a dispute among them, that's the disciples, as to which of them should be considered the greatest. Can you believe these guys? Jesus is standing right with them and they start arguing with each other. Which one's greater? No doubt Peter, the big mouth Peter, the guy, the author of this Peter that we're reading, no doubt he had to pipe up. We know James and John piped up. In fact, James and John are the ones that got their mom involved to speak for them. Can you imagine? They want to be leaders, but they tell their mom, go tell Jesus that your two sons are really something. And she goes to Jesus and says, hey, I want you to vote for my two boys. They're all arguing about who's the greatest. In the presence of God, in sandals, they're arguing about who's the greatest. And he, that is Jesus, said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so, here's the key word, among you. On the contrary, flip it. Paradigm shift. He who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who sits at the table? Yet I am among, keyword, you as the one who serves. God is saying to the disciples, I'm here, I'm your leader, and look, I'm washing your feet. Oh, look, I'm your leader come from heaven, but I'm the one feeding you. I'm the one taking care of you. And Jesus is saying, this is real divine leadership. Any company, any military, any group, any church, any movement will rally to its leader. It's the way that it is. Listen, in tyrannical human governments, people will rally to a tyrant. Man must be led. Satan knows it. God knows it. And the human knows it. We've been granted in this nation that you and I live in, we get to pick our rulers, which is quite unique, you know. But regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our supreme leader, Jesus is our hallmark. He's our captain. We are to rally to him. And to whom are we rallying to? The one who, all around the world, in cultures that don't even believe in him, recognize that the epitome of leadership is found in the personage of Jesus Christ. Corporate books, Harvard Business Review, you name it, have written about the leadership style of Jesus. Why? Because it's a servant style leadership. It's inspiring. It causes people who are theoretical to roll up their sleeves and get involved in reality. It takes what you're learning, by the way, listen, students, it takes what you're learning and makes it real in your life when you go do it. And Jesus is big on that in our lives because it's the only way that we can actually be the Christian in the world that you and I live in.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. To learn more about this ministry or to catch up on some previous episodes, go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get back to today's message. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Now remember his hearers, and Peter is telling them that they are people that are loved by their ministers. And we're going to look at the various words given in this portion of Scripture of what is a minister. But again, remember, I'm suggesting to you that all of you who would say today that you're a Christian, the next breath, you ought to be able to say, I'm a Christian and I love serving those that are hurting. Or I'm a Christian, I love evangelizing. I'm a Christian, I love giving the word of God. Listen, I'm a Christian, I love comforting people. There needs to be the next statement to the fact that you're a Christ follower, each and every one of us. And so I want to give you a couple of things before we get into the study today. But when I mention the word Christian, what comes to your, don't say out loud, what comes to your mind, Christian, minister? See, minister, well, I don't know. What about the evangelist? See, we've been conditioned. Pastor, I don't know about that. The culture that you and I live in right now, they can hardly stomach the title or the name Christian, let alone evangelist. Let's be honest. When you hear the word evangelist, I'm evangelist Billy Bob. You just, I don't know about that. Why do you have to announce that for? Don't say that. Look, I'll be honest with you. It's just us here. Listen, don't repeat this. I am often guilty of lying about what I do. It's true. Kind of. Lisa always gets on me for this. We'll be somewhere and someone will say, and what is it you do to me? Okay, number one, do you know that because of the world that you and I live in, minister, pastor, evangelist is a laughingstock title? Let's be honest. Outside church, you don't go around, I'm a pastor. First of all, don't say that. And secondly, why would you? Because you and I have been conditioned, because what makes the headline news is bad news. And it is discouraging that out of the 100% of the pastors that embark upon ministry, within 7 years, 50% of them have quit. And by the 30 years, only 17% of them survive. I've been doing this for 30 years, so I don't know what those stats are. But there's a high mortality rate in the ministry. And you and I are victims of that. People mock and laugh. There's skits and jokes about pastors and ministers and Christians. But for me personally, so what do you do? I'll say, I'm a teacher. And Lisa ribs me. Oh, teacher, oh, what is it that you teach? I teach various worldviews. Oh, I've heard of worldview. Do you teach at a college? I teach both new young students and postgraduate students. Some of you are postgraduate students. Do you see what I go through? And she's nudging me. Why? Because as soon as I say it, this is what happens. As soon as I say, well, I'm a pastor, the whole scene changes. Everything changes. I can be on a flight, and that's the end of the cupcakes, or the cupcakes. Where did that come out of? You never get cupcakes on a flight. I meant to say pretzels. No more pretzels for you. There's just a coldness that happens. Oh, you're a pastor. Oh, golly. Right? Everything changes. I can be anywhere. So what do? They find out I'm a pastor. Oh, you're a pastor. Their language changes instantly. In fact, listen, even around here, where we live here, I see you. I'm going down the aisle. I'm going down the aisle. You see me. You come. You turn. You and I are in a head-on course on the aisle, and you go like this. And you turn around, and you go the other way. Now, I need to know what's in your cart. Why are you running? Why are you running? What's really fun is when people see me and they come and look in my cart. That's really true. They'll come and they'll look. So go ahead. But there's this thing, minister, pastor, Christian, evangelist. Because the world has been told that all of us are hypocrites. We're all cheating on our husbands or cheating on our wives or robbing the banks or whatever's going on. And that's the Christian. And that's very sad. And a lot in the name of Christianity. And if I'm faithful to my notes, I've promised to give you some names of people who create that environment for us. And it's wrong. Today, more than ever, America needs pastors and Christians and leaders and people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you four things that are very important for where we're going. You got to write this down in your introduction to this. It sounds very self-serving, but it's the Bible, I remind you, and it's very serious. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Hebrews 13, 7. Regarding ministers, each and every one, the Bible says, regarding those who are instructing you, it says, remember. The word remember here in Hebrews 13, 7 means to go back, comb it over in your mind, let it ponder in your mind, ask yourself questions. What is this? Remember. Those who rule over you, we'll define that later, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Hebrews 13, 7 tells us regarding Christian leaders that they are to be judged by the flock. Has the flock been convinced that those who are presiding over them as leaders, are they worthy in their lifestyle to follow? The next thing that you understand in verse 7 is that they have a faith that you can mimic. It means to walk in the same shadow of. And you understand this, that there is a judgment coming in the end, and those who are ministers and Christians, you and I, called by God to live our Christian life, we all realize there's a day of reckoning coming. That you and I live in a constant awareness that judgment for the believer is coming. You know that, don't you? You and I live understanding that the Lord is someday going to require an account. Number two, Hebrews 13:17 says, obey. The word means to have confidence in those in whom you can trust, your spiritual leaders. Obey those who rule over you. Second time it has said rule over you. And be submissive. Why? This goes against all of our modern day grain. Well, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. In other words, listen, you ought to go to a church where the leadership actually loves you, and they are in the fear of God, knowing that what the leadership teaches is something that it has to be answered to God in the end, and that they watch out for your souls. If you're visiting this church today, or you're on vacation, you're going to go back to your community, you ought to go to a church that you understand that the staff, the pastoral teaching ministry, the people serving, the teams of all the various ministries, that you understand one thing. These are people watching out for my soul. And can I say this? A lot of people go to church because they're lonely, and that's fine. But you shouldn't go to church to have the pastor or pastors be your friends. So what do you mean? We are supposed to be, if we're called by God, to watch out for your soul. According to the Bible, to those who are called by God, we're ministering the word of God to you in such a way that it's independent of your preference or your feeling. That we are to give you the truth if it hurts or not. That it's not about a popularity game. Today we have rock star pastors all across America, if not around the world. And everyone's vying for the biggest amount of tweets or clicks or, you know what I'm saying? God knows nothing about this. God's standard is this. I have put people in the church who are completely devoted to giving the flock of God the word of God, and they better not waver on that left hand or right, because you've been called, if you're called, to watch out for the souls of others. What does that mean? It means that I ought to care more about your soul than maybe you do. How's that lived out? Because I'm going to tell you the truth, even if you hate me. That's the call. Peter is talking to a church that needs leadership, that needs love, that needs guidance. And you read four verses a moment ago that exhibits the very heart of God himself. Loving, tenderness, care. The next thing is Hebrews 13:18 that says, pray for us. Pray for us. So you're to remember us. That's kind. You're to obey because you recognize over time that we are here to watch out for your souls. All the while, by the way, never ruling over you. Boy, I can't wait for a week or two to get into what that means. Because there's a lot of ministries out there today walking around, and they're demanding that people do exactly. The council came together, the board made this decree regarding your life and all this stuff. And Jesus says, I hate that. But that's for some other day. Finally, Hebrews 13, verse 24, it says, greet, that is recognize or acknowledge or salute, frankly, all those who rule over you. Salute them. Some of your Bibles, I think, translations say, kiss those who rule over you. We're not going to do that. You're going to keep your germs to yourself, and just a salute is fine. It just simply means that you are to acknowledge. That's simply it. Here's another Jack sitting here in the front row. Jack the Jack, pair of Jacks. I know that. And I salute you. And it just means I acknowledge them. It's part of the family.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part One. So glad you took the time to be with us today. And you know, as ministers of Christ, our hope is in heaven, a living hope that doesn't lose its strength or fade away. Ministers, Each and Every One, Part One is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through some great persecution. and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, have you ever thought about what's after life? Do you know that the Bible teaches life is after life? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, my good friend Philip DeCourcy has written a great book, and that's the title, Life After Life, Exploring the Bible's Wonderful Promises About Heaven and Eternity, published by Harvest House Publishers. Get a copy for yourself.
Life After Life by Philip DeCourcy, exploring the Bible's promises about heaven and eternity. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.